Be here today in New Bothwell, having that invitation, and I trust that you are all well and in the spirit as well as physically. We know that there's a lot of things happening in this world, so physically we are maybe not always 100%, and spiritually perhaps neither. And so I just want to encourage you with that we press on forward and upward, and come to church and be gathered like we are today, and to be encouraged with God's word and strengthened as we worship together. And so with that, I want to say grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for giving us a brand new day and for entrusting to us your word, to discern your word and to proclaim your word. Lord, it is a big trust that you have in us, and we as people don't want to let you down, but rather we want to serve you faithfully, proclaim your word with accuracy and with passion and even with godly pride. And so, Lord, we just thank you again for this day. We thank you for everyone that has come. And, Father, we welcome them into the house of prayer, and we welcome those that are listening on live stream or wherever they are. And, Lord, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray that their lives would be refreshed and encouraged each and every day as they look into your word and as they pray for each other. They pray for their leadership. And Lord, that they reflect on you and what you have done for them. And that as you rode into Jerusalem, you truly came to bring triumph, to bring victory, and that we celebrate this victory today. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Help us to worship, guide us in our thoughts, in our prayers, in how we think one toward another and towards you. Let you be honored and glorified in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. We will have some songs now.
337 in the blue hymnal.
Best I forget thy agony. Best
107.
Be free from the burden of sin.
Praise be to God for letting us do that. He wants that worship from us. And so, as we know, today is a Sunday that we know as Palm Sunday. And what we know as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Some of these terms are things that we don't necessarily find as such in the scriptures, but we see them develop in the scriptures. And so some names have been put to these things. And so we just need to realize that sometimes that this is the case. So the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and we see that in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the account is given of this entry into Jerusalem of Jesus Christ, where he would prepare and he would prepare to become the Savior of the world, and that would be announced to the world, and he would go to the cross. And we know that the story unfolds from there in the next week, towards Good Friday and towards Easter Sunday. And so I want to turn us to the book of St. Mark in chapter 11. That is the account that I would like to draw from this morning, and perhaps reference a little bit over to some of the other Gospels as well to bring out that story. In verse 1, it says, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples." And so we see that Bethage was a village near Bethany, about a mile east of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives obstructed or stood between it from Jerusalem. And so they were standing on the mountain, and they went over to Bethphage, and Jerusalem was down in the valley on the other side and up the hill a little bit there. So that is a little bit what the setting was like. And then it says, "And Jesus sent two disciples." Now, where were they going to go? The disciples were given a task to do as well. We are given a task to do for Jesus so often. And it becomes the question, are we going to do this task, or will we see it as too big of a task to do? How will it turn out? And then in verse 2, "And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye have entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." Here we find the command of Jesus, what they were supposed to do. It says, "You will find a donkey and her colt. Untie them." And in Matthew chapter 21, if we go to that reference there, in verse 2, it talks about untie them, both of them. So they were supposed to untie the donkey and her colt and bring them to Jesus. Sometimes we wonder, why both? What was involved here? What was actually going on with that command that Jesus gave them to do? Jesus had a mission. We need to understand that he had a mission, and we are a part of that mission still today. It says, "Whereon never man sat." Back in the Old Testament, we find this in Numbers chapter 19 and also Deuteronomy chapter 21. "An animal devoted to sacred purpose, to a sacred purpose, must not have been put to common use." So Jesus was looking for a fresh set of animals to do the task that he had planned ahead, or that was coming. In Matthew chapter 21, in that account, in verse 4 and 5, it was prophesied to happen this way. And the prophecy comes from Isaiah chapter 62 in verse 11 and 12, which read, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." We see that the work was before Jesus Christ. The work had not begun yet, but was going to begin now. And this is where that is prophesied, what Jesus would do. He would need to ride into Jerusalem. And in verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. So Jerusalem was the setting for this. A city not forsaken. The Jews would not be forsaken. He would come to the Jews. And we know that they were waiting for him. And we will get to that part where they would cry Hosanna. And they would put their clothes and palm branches in the road. And they were waiting for that king to appear. And then in verse 3, the arrangements had all been made for the task that the disciples needed to do. We see God's provision all the time in what needs to be fulfilled and what is being fulfilled, even in our lives today. So in verse 3, it says, "And if any man say unto you, why do ye this?" He's referring to untying the colt. "Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." So Jesus gave instruction here to the disciples, even what to say when they would go, because Jesus knew that he would be questioned. Can you imagine going to the owner of perhaps a car today or some vehicle, and you would just do as Jesus had told you, hop in, turn the key, and drive away? I think we would find that most owners would question that as to what we were up to. And so there was no trouble. Jesus had prepared that way as well. Let's read verses 4 to 6 of Mark 11. "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go." Often we are doubtful, and still other times we are surprised that Jesus has already caused our task to work out. Is that true? Often we are surprised and even doubtful whether our task will work out. But Jesus has worked out the details. We don't need to worry what's ahead. There's so much worry in the world today as to how things are going to unfold and happen. The task is readied for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem. There are details in these couple of verses. Verse 4 says the colt was tied in a place where two ways met. This is the place. People, we need to understand that. This is the place. That fork in the road is the place in life where a person, young or old, it's talking about a donkey and her foal or her colt. It's talking about somebody that is older and somebody that is younger, all ages. This is the place where people of all ages make a decision to either take the broad road or the narrow road. The broad road leads to destruction, and the narrow road leads to life everlasting. We all come to that fork in the road where we need to make that decision. And we make one decision or we make the other decision, but we make a decision which way we will take. We cannot stay at that fork in the road. The Lord doesn't let us stay there. The triumphal entry lies in following the Father into the world. You might say into Jerusalem. We need to follow God into the world all the way to the cross. And we need to lay down our lives to the will of God. Victory is only gained when we go the whole way. We have to go the whole way, the extra mile even, before we get victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, which was under the ruling authority of the Sanhedrin. We may not be familiar with that term, the Sanhedrin. What is the Sanhedrin? That is the ruling part, or the government, you might say. Jesus needed to be obedient to the Sanhedrin. And the government consisted of the high priest at that time, the scribes, the Pharisees, politicians, and church leaders. It was a group of so many types of people in society that were the leadership or the government, which we call this Sanhedrin. In verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. It talks about casting their garments on him, their clothes. They put onto him, and they put their, and other accounts are saying that they put the clothes on the donkey before Jesus was put onto the donkey to ride on the donkey. And so what is this about, the casting of clothes? It signifies the putting of ourselves under the subjection of a king that is put in place over us. In 2 Kings, it talks about this. You can read it for yourselves sometime. Take it home. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13 explains the, I'll call it the inauguration or the swearing in of a king, of a new king. David went through this, and every king went through this. And this is the process that people went through. They would cast their clothes before the king, signifying that they would put themselves under the subjection of that king. And so we see here, in a sense, the inauguration or the swearing in of Jesus as king. The one thing that the Jews did not understand, and many still don't understand that, is that he would not come as a king to rule in this world like the kings of this world do, but he would be a spiritual king for them. But the concept still remains, and still remains today. We need to be brought under the subjection of Jesus Christ, that he can sit on our lives and be in charge of the things that we do and the things that we say and the things that we become and the things that we decide on in our lives. He becomes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to us. The question, though, becomes, do we put ourselves to that degree under his subjection? The clothes are, for those people back then, were maybe all that they even had. Do we put under the subjection of Jesus Christ everything that we have? That is what Jesus requires of us. And then we move to verse 8 of the text, and it says, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. This is an amazing part of the testimony of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, what do the palm branches have to do with anything that Jesus did? The people allowed Jesus to tread over, walk right over their clothes, their possessions, that they were submitting to the will of God. As Christians, we are clothed with humility. It is often referred to that in the scriptures, how we are dressed with humility. We put it on, we wear it all the time. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." We are dressed with it, and we serve one another with that humble heart all the time. And the scriptures also say that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We actually wear the Savior. When we have accepted him, we take him with us. Wherever we go, we wear him. You know, in wintertime, when we wear a jacket or a parka, it is because we need it, and we will never forget it when we leave home. We know what we will be cold. We know that we will be insufficient without it. And so, likewise, we wear Jesus when we put him on, when we find out that we need him in our lives. It's that relationship that we build. We cannot leave our houses. We cannot go anywhere without that relationship with our Savior. We see this in Romans 13, verse 14, where it says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And sometimes we say, why does the scripture always go there? Making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have so many lusts in this world. And lust does not only mean sexual attractions and lusting. It means everything that we desire so badly that we want it. If we look for other things rather than Jesus Christ, it tells us to make no provision for that. And then we see in this verse that they cut down the branches off the trees. In the other Gospels, it actually tells us that these are palm branches. What is the significance of these leaves, of these branches being cut down? Well, the branches, and we'll get to the scripture part of it yet, but the branches are a symbol of victory. Revelations talks about this. We'll get there in a few minutes. But palm branches, especially in the province of Palestine, are found everywhere. For those of you that have been in Israel, and I have, I was there in 2015, it is evident. It's beautiful. If you've been in places of the world with the palm branches, it is an absolute gorgeous sight to see. So palm trees, they rise 40 to 50, even 80 feet in the air. They're tall trees. The branches are 6 feet, up to 6 feet or so in length, the leaves. And they're way up there. You don't see the branches low on those trees. They're way up there at the top. So what's the relation here between the palm branches and what is happening here with Jesus Christ? If you are totally committed to your Lord, you will go to any height or any extent to serve him faithfully. These people climb these trees to the top to cut these branches down, to put into the way for Jesus to ride over when he came into the city of Jerusalem. Would it have been dangerous for them? Possibly. Are our lives dangerous when we commit fully to Jesus Christ? Possibly. And if it hasn't been, it will be in the future. We have to meditate on scripture to gain these insights. We have to go to all lengths. We have to go the extra mile or more to gain the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and also to gain the full benefit of walking with Jesus Christ. We need to go to the top, not to be satisfied with staying at the bottom. The whole land of Palestine is called by the Greeks and the Romans the land of the palms. Or we might say the land of victory, The palm tree signifies victory. The Jewish people wanted victory and victory over the Romans who had invaded their land. Jesus did come to bring that victory, but not quite the way they had in mind. As I said before, he came as a spiritual king, not a king that would set all of these unrests in order on this world. I want to go to the book of Revelations for a few moments here just to bring out that victory that the palm tree is signifying. It itemizes it in Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 to 12, where it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." It talks about the palms again, but the victory is being dressed in white robes and standing before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, on that final day, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. It's talking about submission again on that last day, where we will fall on our faces and worship God wholeheartedly, 100%, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And so this is, I think, a very important thing for us to realize, that it talks about in the tribulation period, the Gentiles being saved, how the great multitude of Gentiles being saved in the tribulation period, ministered by the sealed Jews. The white robes were given to the righteous people only, and here they are praising God for their salvation, once again, with palm leaves in their hands. This will actually happen in that glorious day. And then I want to turn to Mark chapter 11 again, to our text, verses 9 and 10. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Here we see the crowd crying the words from Psalm chapter 118, 25 and 26. We see that over and over again, that the people of the New Testament, Jesus himself even, when he went to the cross and he was in the dungeon, he prayed a prayer from the book of Psalms. We don't have time to go into that now, but here we see that the crowd is crying the words from Psalm 118, 25 and 26, which read, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." That is what they were actually saying in Jerusalem as he came riding in. Again, going back to Zechariah 9, verse 9, the rabbis from Jesus' day couldn't understand such a humble and lowly entry into Jerusalem. The rulers there, the people that were proclaiming the word of God, the rabbis, they couldn't understand how lowly that was. And it started at Jesus' birth. Again, they couldn't understand why Jesus was born in a stable and so lowly. The word Hosanna means save, we pray, or save now. The people were shouting, "Save us, we pray." And at some point in our lives, we have come to Jesus, or those of you that are younger and maybe haven't accepted that Savior into your lives yet, at some point, I pray that you will be saying, "Save me. Save me." There's something to ponder here as we move to the cross this week. You and I are moving to Good Friday again, and we are being reminded of what happened. And the cost of this salvation that was purchased for us. In John chapter 18, verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." We are talking about a spiritual kingdom here. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It is in the believers. It is in you and I. That is where the kingdom of God is. We are encouraged and told that we are not servants that fight if we are a part of that kingdom. We have relationship with Jesus. That means we have relationship one with another. And we go about as a peaceful people. We are sheep accounted for the slaughter. We do not fight. We are not going against the Sanhedrin, the government. We are people that submit. We are put totally under the subjection of. Jesus tells us that no government is not of God. The governments that be are ordained of God. We can't always understand this, but Jesus is allowing things to happen so that things progress in this world to the point that we can come to that part in the Revelations that we just read a little while ago, where we will come back in white robes and we will be accounted as righteousness. And we will enter the kingdom of heaven. Things have to develop, and we have to understand that we need to allow them to develop. And Jesus was not disobedient to the Roman government at that time. He was obedient to the Roman government. In fact, he allowed the Roman soldiers to even take him and capture him. As a sheep, he laid himself down. They took him up, and they delivered him to the cross. That is a beautiful scenario, an example for us, where we have to be laid down as sheep. As a pastor, as a shepherd, for you people and to others, would I be able to give that example to you and take you? Would you be that, in German they say, mark, meek, and lowly? Would we be that helpless and allow ourselves to be scooped up and put onto the leader's shoulder to be carried all the way to the cross? I hope so. And I trust that we are being trained day by day to look into the scriptures and just to realize that we are those obedient sheep. Not the goats that are bucking, the sheep that are laying their lives down for the sake of Jesus Christ, what he has given us for an example to do in this world. I want to close with prayer, and my prayer will be a prayer of something to consider as we walk to the cross and as we consider life going forward. Our time here today has basically come to an end, and I have enjoyed worshiping with you. And I pray that we are all okay and we are glorifying God in our spirits. And happy again to be in this Lent season, to be walking with Jesus and carrying our cross to Calvary. Let us pray. Lord God, no matter what the circumstances around us in this world today are, we need to consider the choice we made when we untied the colt at the fork in the road and decided to follow you, Jesus, to your death and into glory. Today we ask if we have untied a donkey and actually ride with you in humility, in patience, obedience, and signed up to die to ourselves as sheep for the slaughter. Lord, or did we untie a horse that was stubborn as goats, destined for battle and defeat, depending on power, depending on our rights to have what we think is fair, and disobedient to the Roman government that still reigns the world today, but to whom you, Lord Jesus, surrendered to. My prayer is that we understand that we have our victory now, but we wait and suffer for you patiently. And we spend our time of sojourning here on this world with no rights, bearing our cross, and wait for your glorious appearing when the world will recognize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please draw all of humanity to your awesome love before people are lost forever. Thank you for being triumphant for us all. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to pause just for a minute to allow a silent word of prayer, and then we'll have announcements and the benediction. So wherever you are, just close your eyes and let's be silent before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that victory that you won on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a few announcements to make here. The first one is that on Easter Monday, there won't be any church service, as it has been decided that they won't have any morning service on Easter Monday. The second thing is that the Sunday school is in need of one more teacher for the class two. They're asking if there would be a volunteer that would be willing to take on the role as a teacher. And if there's going to be more than one that is going to come forward, what they will do then, Harold and Ruben, they will write the names on a piece of paper, put them in a book, and then pull one, and then that's how the one will be elected. So I would encourage, if there's ladies here that are interested in taking on the class two in Sunday school, that you would contact either Harold or Ruben Penner and let them know. And if there's more than one, then they will do the selection, and they will notify you then. And the other thing is the grade 9 students, I don't know how many there are here from last year's grade 9, you're asked to come into Sunday school to receive your reward Bible. They have them now, so if you're here, then just go into the Sunday school and you will get your reward Bible then. Thank you, may God bless you.
Thank you, Jake, and I would encourage those people that are being pressed to teach the children to take that to heart. I want to thank you for coming and for just listening intently and considering the words of the gospel as they are presented. And I want to bless you with the benediction at this time, which is taken out of the book of Philemon. And in verse 25, let us bow. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go your way. Thank you for coming.